I will call the Public Utilities Commission meeting to order June 21st, 2016, State Capitol. This is Chairman Nelson. I have with me Commissioners Hansen and Feagin. Is there a motion for the approval of the minutes from June 7th?
Mr. Chairman, move to approve the minutes of June 7th of the Commission meeting 2016.
Discussion on the motion. Hearing none. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. The minutes are approved. Consumer reports from Deb Gregg.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. The Commission received a total of 62 contacts since the last report was prepared for the June 7th, 2016 Commission meeting. 18 of the contacts involved telecommunication service, 9 of the contacts involved electric service, 6 contacts related to wireless service, 3 contacts related to natural gas service, 8 contacts related to the Do Not Call registry, 5 contacts related to Dakota Access Pipeline, and 13 contacts related to issues not regulated by the PUC. We still have 2 open complaints from 2014, and 635 of the 653 complaints received in 2016 have been resolved.
Thank you. Questions from the Commission? Hearing none. Thanks, Deb. We're going to take our agenda in order today. We will start with electric dockets, EL 16-019, in the matter of Ottertail Power Company's 2015 South Dakota Energy Efficiency Plan Status Report and 2016 Annual Filing to update the Energy Efficiency Adjustment Rider, and we will turn it over to Ottertail.
Thank you, and good morning, Chairman Nelson, Commissioner Feagin, and Commissioner Hansen. My name is Jason Grenier, and I manage the Market Planning Department here at Ottertail Power Company. The company appreciates the opportunity today to address the Commission. 2015 represented our 8th year of operating energy efficiency programs in South Dakota. We appreciate staff and the Commissioner's continued support as we work together to refine our portfolio. Looking back at 2015, which is the second year of our 3-year triennial plan, we spent 105% of our budget while saving 151% of our energy savings goal and 141% of our demand savings goal. The 2015 portfolio produced over $3.6 million in utility net benefits from more than 4.2 million kilowatt hours in energy savings, while also providing participants with savings on their electric bills. The 2015 EAP program returned strong TRC benefit cost ratio of 8.09 and an even higher utility bend cost ratio at 10.81. The overall cost per kilowatt hour saved is less than a penny per kilowatt hour over the life of the energy efficiency investments, far less than any supply side resource. These are positive indicators that the portfolio is highly cost effective. As recommended by staff, today Ottertail respectfully requests the Commission to first approve our 2015 financial incentive request of $105,900. Secondly, approve the 2015 energy efficiency plan status report as amended by Ottertail's June 17, 2016 errata filing to correct the benefit cost test results. And then lastly, approve our proposed change to the energy efficiency adjustment factor to $0.00114 per kilowatt hour with an effective date of July 1st. Upon the Commission's approval and subsequent order, Ottertail will file an updated rate schedule in compliance with the order. I'm now available for any questions or comments the Commission or staff may have. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll go to staff first and then go to questions. Darren.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. This is Darren Carney for staff. On Friday, June 17th, staff filed our memo kind of explaining the filing that Ottertail made regarding their energy efficiency plan. We also made some recommendations within that memo. With regard to staff recommendation number 2, which is to approve the 2015 energy efficiency plan status report subject to Ottertail filing amended benefit cost test results and models supporting those test results, as Mr. Grenier had said that they did file the amended benefit cost test results Friday afternoon. However, I would still like to see the models supporting those, so I would still recommend including in the order that you subject the approval of the 2015 plan on filing models to support the benefit cost test results. Otherwise, I think I captured all of staff's thoughts and recommendations within the memo, and I'm available for questions. Thank you.
Questions from the Commission. Commissioner Feagin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This filing is always, I'm normally very grateful, and I still am very grateful when I read this filing, when the budgeted total resource test was 3.09 and the actual is 8.09, yet still under the assumption that we'll look at that model, it looks like. I have a few questions. First of all, on your lighting, your goal was 340 participants. You had 651. Looks like you did some type of media with your radio. Are there cooperative members too, or could only Otter Tail customers get those lights, or how did that work?
Yeah, for 2015, our program was only for Otter Tail Power customers. When we had a campaign in Milbank there where our customers could come in to our customer service center and they could request up to 10 bulbs, but they had to show that they had to show a bill or provide evidence that they were a customer of Otter Tail's. Now, looking forward and this is obviously a different docket, but looking forward to our plan for 17 through 19, we are proposing to expand that a little bit. Some of our areas, you know, do have some of our service areas are very close to cooperatives where they operate, like Milbank, where there's in town there's some there's a cooperative that operates, and so we'd like to expand that. We believe it's a very cost effective program, and as long as the state's saving energy efficiency, it's good for all, and the impacts to other customers are very minimal. So, but yeah, good question. Thank you.
Thank you. I didn't really understand your expansion, so I'll ask questions when that filing is made. But I certainly appreciate that you're focusing on Otter Tail customers. The other question I have is in your custom commercial plan, although there weren't any participants, there was a cost of $8,000. How many businesses did your staff work with, and do you know why those businesses did not go with the ideas of your staff?
That's a great question. I don't know, you know, how many exactly businesses that we work with. I know that, you know, our energy management rep out of our Milbank office, he's constantly out working with customers all the time. One reason that, you know, in the past we've seen more custom efficiency projects. One was the reason is because we had adjustable speed drives in that program. We've moved that out into its own drive power program. So now you're seeing those projects over there instead. Another issue that we've seen is as now we focus on a summer peak with energy efficiency, you know, we're aligning with MISO's summer generation peak, that we don't see the building envelopes project as much. A lot of the building envelope projects, which are, you know, possibly replacing windows, adding insulation, different kinds of ceiling, you know, cracks and things like that, those were more winter measures. And because we don't get that benefit of those winter generation capacity benefits anymore, we don't recognize those. Those projects just typically aren't cost effective anymore. So we're seeing a lot of the building envelope projects actually go away.
Okay, thank you. If you could file with the staff from your representatives that went out on just how many people they visited with and just a tiny report, maybe a paragraph that says, we recommended this, but they chose not to. So we can kind of figure out the $8,000 used in that area, but nobody signed up. My very last question is the drive power. And you had one customer. It sounds like you guys have a policy that only 20% of the rebate can be used for one customer per year, but you extended that over 2 years. Can you, I mean, and I know the staff asked a little bit about that, but could you explain a little bit more how this customer now gets 2 years of a policy that it appears that it should have been it looks like maybe your policy was a one-year policy.
Yeah, I'd be glad to answer that question. You know, for these large customers, they're doing very large projects. And at the same time, these customers are probably paying the majority of the costs into the program. And so these large customers, when they do a project, which they may only come along, you know, once every you know, 10 years or so. And so they want to do a project, and when they go to participate, you know, they're very limited. And we'll, and why we have that 20% policy is because we want to maximize participation each year. You know, so we don't want to pay out, you know, 40% of our budget to one customer in 1 year, because that would limit participation by other customers. So, you know, and we did talk to staff previous to doing this, and I believe we had this conversation last year as well, but by spreading it out over 2 years, you know, it still maximizes participation by all customers in each of the years, and also encourage these large customers to invest in these energy efficiency technologies. You know, we have heard from our large customers that, well, you know, why participate, you know, if I only get this small rebate, and they've complained a little bit about, you know, we're paying all the costs, but yet we get so limited while the other customers, you know, aren't limited at all in the rebates. So we're trying to find a balance point in the middle, I guess, with trying to maximize participation each year, and also, you know, trying to maximize participation from all customers. And really, it's just kind of it's a result of the small budget that we have there, you know, the $353,000. It's a small budget, and we really work every month of the year to try to manage that budget and make sure that we don't go over. And that's why you'll see that we were right at 105% this year of budgets and spending, because we really manage that well. So that's kind of the background on that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I certainly appreciate you supporting large customers. I don't think their quote is right that they pay for all the cost of the energy efficiency plan, because I certainly see tariffs on residential too. But thank you.
This is Chairman Nelson. I want to ask a follow-up question to the question Commissioner Feagin just asked. And, you know, the 20% 1 year and then 20% the next year, to me, that makes sense. I'm okay with that. But my question comes from your status report, bottom of page 13, top of page 14, where after you explain the 20% and 20%, then you have a sentence that says, since there were adequate dollars in the budget at the end of 2015, Otter Tail paid additional rebate dollars to the customer for the qualifying equipment in 2015. Am I understanding that the customer got their 20% in 2015, and then at the end of the year you still had money left, so you just cut them a check for whatever money was left?
I'm sorry. Chairman Nelson, 1 second. What page? Could you tell me what page that was on again, please?
Bottom of page 13, top of page 14.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Chairman Nelson. Those dollars paid were not in addition to the extra 20%. Those were within the 20%. So the max they were paid is 20% and 20%.
So in that sentence where you say Otter Tail paid additional rebate dollars, you're not really meaning additional.
Chairman Nelson, that would be the second, correct. That would be the second payment of the 20%.
Okay. So in the second year, 20% is all they got, period.
I believe that is correct. You know, to be 100% correct, I would have to go back and look at our accounting. But that's the way that I understand it. But I could definitely follow up with you on that.
I'm looking at Mr. Carney. Do you have any insight into this, and do you understand my question? I mean, as that sentence is written, it tells me that they got money above the 20%.
I do not have any additional insight into it. When I was reading through the filing, I read through it as being just the 20% that they paid out, since there's a cap on it. But I agree that the sentence as written makes it seem like there is additional dollars paid out above the 20%. For the year of 2015. So that's a good question, and I think we should have Otter Tail follow up on that.
Yeah, I definitely need to have that resolved. And as again, as I said, you know, you're splitting the 20 one year and 20 the next year. I get that. That makes sense. But if then you're making an additional payment just to clean out whatever leftover rebate dollars you have and sending that all to this customer as an addition, which is what the sentence says, that I do have an issue with. And so I need to know the answer to that question. Is that something you can get for us before we end our meeting today? Or is that going to take some deeper digging?
Chairman Nelson, we can definitely do that. Our analyst actually just stepped out of the room, and she's going to go grab those numbers right now, and we can definitely provide that for you. I do know that they're only given dollars that they qualified for, you know, as far as, you know, dollars per horsepower that they were paid. But we will definitely check it and just clarify that it is the 20% and the 20% and no additional dollars. We'll get to the bottom of that here right now. We're working on.
Excellent. I appreciate that. Commissioner Hansen, any questions? There are none there. I've got one additional question, and this goes to the air conditioning control program. If I'm understanding the filing correctly, that program saved 1,399 kilowatt hours. And to save that number of kilowatt hours, you spent $7,772. So that tells me it cost $5.56 to save a 10-cent kilowatt hour. Am I understanding that correctly?
Chairman Nelson, your math is correct. A large component, probably the largest component of the Cool Savings Program is actually the demand savings. And so with operating in the MISO footprint, we're really focused. We've really had a shift of focusing on summer demand response programs. And air conditioning is probably our fastest growing summer demand response program. So while it looks like there's not a lot of energy savings there, what's really impactful and what really drives the customer benefits or net benefits is the demand savings that air conditioning sees. So we're able to, by signing up for this program, we're able to cycle our customers during high capacity times or high economic conditions or high prices in the market. So that's why we offer that program and why it still is cost effective. But yeah, you are correct that the energy savings aren't the main driver there.
And so what I'm understanding is that the demand charges at those periods are so high that this is in fact cost effective. Is that correct?
That is correct. I'm sorry, Chairman Nelson, that is correct. The benefits that the system gets by controlling or by cycling those air conditioners during high demand times or high economic energy times is what drives the program.
So I'm looking at your Appendix A, Table 2, and that's where you've got a table that's got the actual savings. And it talks about the total benefits for that program as being in the 57,000 range, the utility net benefits 49,000. And so a large component of those benefits then is going to be the demand charge savings. Is that accurate?
Chairman Nelson, you are correct. That's accurate. The demand savings are the driver for that program.
And so looking at the total benefits, what this is telling me is you're literally saving $41 per kilowatt hour.
Chairman Nelson, yep, that is correct. In that analysis, what we're looking at is we're looking at our generation capacity costs in the summertime and our transmission and distribution costs in the summertime. And so when someone signs up for this program and we control them or we cycle their air conditioner or air source heat pump, we're assuming that it's we're assuming that we no longer have to build the next unit to cover those MISO summer peak periods.
And I get all that theory. I'm just, my mind is baffled with even talking about building another unit for 1,400 kilowatt hours. I mean, I just can't conceive how that few kilowatt hours could really drive demand that much higher. So I'm turning to Mr. Carney. Can you give me any feel for this? I mean, are the demand charges really that high for an additional 1,400 kilowatt hours?
Well, first, I don't think you can mix kilowatt hours with kilowatts. They're completely different. Kilowatts is the capacity on the system and the capacity needed to meet the demand on the system, which is almost an instantaneous measurement. Kilowatt hours is the energy produced over time. So whereas, just like Mr. Grenier said, you know, energy savings are very low, the kilowatt demand savings are high. So just to give you an idea, breaking it down, and this is based on their old benefit cost models, and I haven't seen the models for the new ones yet, but for the energy savings, the avoided cost for the 1,399 kilowatt hours was about $1,200 for the year. For the capacity savings, the kilowatt savings, it was about $48,000 for generation alone. And so basically, you know, this 1 year, the 21 kilowatts isn't going to drive the need for a new plant, but it's offsetting the need for a new plant in the future. And then as you pile on each year's savings, you know, 21 kilowatts this year and throughout the life of the program for 15 years is what they have for these AC control programs, then that adds up to the to about the $50,000 savings mark. And so as each utility and each year they have these savings, and the cumulative savings effect eventually offsets the need for the procurement of additional capacity resources or pushes that off to the future for the need for additional capacity resources. And that's where the savings are really coming from.
Gotcha. You talk about the cumulative, though. I mean, next year there's going to be additional cost for the program. And so I'm trying to weigh in my mind if there's a, you know, obviously there are cumulative benefits, but there are also cumulative costs to the program. Is that correct?
Yep, that would be correct for each year.
Thank you. Appreciate the explanation. Any other questions from commissioners? Mr. Rivaslav.
This is Greg. Excuse me. This is Greg Rivaslav. I want to follow up on that last question. When you determine the benefits of this program, and we know it relates to the demand, are you using the actual 30 hours, or are you looking at what was planned for capacity needs for the summer peak? In other words, again, you can interrupt up to 300 hours. You only went 30. Are you calculating the savings based on the planning year, or are we talking only after the fact what was actually what actually occurred?
Mr. Rizlov, we are counting. One second, I'm just getting some advice here. Yeah. So, okay, Mr. Rizlov, what we do is we look back at a 3 year average of control hours, and then we apply that to our analysis. So we know approximately how many kilowatt hours that we get in savings per a unit per hour of control. And then what we do is we use we look back at the last 3 years and use an average.
Okay. And I guess I'd liken this just for example. When one buys insurance, you pay the price whether or not you actually use it, but you have it there as a risk aversion measure. And that was where I was going with this. If that's the way you look at the savings, the KW savings, is that something that actually occurs, or is it something that's required, you know, due to the regional entity or MISO or whatever the case may be?
Yeah, Mr. Rizlov. Yeah, it's based on on historic to actual. But I think there could be a case made for, you know, just having the option of going up to 300 hours. There's definitely a benefit there, too, because we've seen, you know, low economic energy prices in the market lately, so we're not controlling as much. But just having an option there is very valuable to our system and ratepayers.
Thank you.
Any additional questions? Jason, do you have rounded up the answer to my question, or should we go on to some additional dockets and come back to you?
Chairman Nelson, I'd appreciate if you'd just come back to it. We are computing that right now.
Absolutely. We will do that. We'll just set Otter Tail off to the side for a moment and move on to GE 16-002 in the matter of the filing by Northwestern Corporation doing business as Northwestern Energy for approval of revised energy efficiency adjustment rates and demand-side management plan extension. And I'm going to read the question since the questions have, in fact, changed from the original agenda. Shall the commission approve a six-month extension of Northwestern's current demand-side management plan through December 31st, 2016? And shall the commission approve the extension of the currently effective energy efficiency adjustment rates of $0.0005 per kilowatt hour for electric service and a credit of $0.0007 per therm for gas service through... I don't think that's right. To continue a credit?
Yeah, it's a credit.
Okay. Through December 31st, 2016. Okay. That's what we're dealing with. Northwestern.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. This is Pam Bonru, Director of Government and Regulatory Affairs for Northwestern Energy. As you know, we have on the phone Jeff Decker, our rate specialist, and then Danny Williams, who's the manager of our DSM programs in Butte, Montana. I know Denny has some of her staff available as well. And I'm going to turn this over at this point to Danny and her folks to let them explain the proposed budget and the need for the extension related to their potential study that they're doing out in Montana at this time.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Good morning, Chairman Nelson and Commissioners Hansen and Commissioner Fegan. We are requesting the extension of our year two plan through December 31st. This includes a budget increase of $600,000, which includes a 2% increase to cover the cost of living adjustments and business costs and an increase in sales tax from 4 to 4.5% for the year 2016. We are underway with an electric efficiency potential assessment here in Montana, and we do not have the results of that complete yet. We are expecting those early summer, well, I guess it is summer now, probably within the next month or so. So we would like to extend our programs through year two and then come back with a year three plan that includes some recommendations from our electric efficiency potential assessment for a year three plan. If there are any questions, we would be available to answer those at this time.
Thank you. Let's go to staff first.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. This is Darren Carney for staff. Staff filed our memo late in the day on Friday, June 17th, regarding our analysis on the docket and recommendations for the docket. In short, we recommend the commission approve the extension of the current DSM plan through December 31st, 2016 date, as well as the currently effective energy efficiency rates. Within the memo, I tried to break down where the $600,000 is coming from that Northwestern Energy is asking for. And basically, the dollars are going to be applied towards in-home audits, outside services, which is their contractor managing rebates and talking with the trade organizations and promoting the energy efficiency plans. And also rebates. So should note that there's no additional funds asked for admin labor for Northwestern Energy's expenses and advertising. So Those are through the three only cost categories that they're looking for additional funds to last throughout the rest of 2016. With that, let me see. I will make note the filing had changed from the original questions before the commission, and I'll just give a little brief description about what happened there. So originally, Northwestern filed to reduce the rates in order to last through December 31st, 2016. Staff asked a data request, will please provide the forecasts for those rates so we can see what the carrying charges and balances are going to be at the end of December 31st, 2016. Once they ran those numbers, it was determined that the rates would need to increase. Electric would increase only very slightly and would not have resulted in really a material change to the tracking balance at the end of December 31st, 2016. The gas rate, however, would have had to increase quite a bit, resulting from going from a credit, the currently effective credit, to a charge. And one of the large drivers for that is that you're not capturing the high sales season of January, February, and March. And so ultimately when staff and Northwestern sat down and talked about it, we felt that it would be best if we just left the rates flat, adjust them with the next plan filing, because at that time we'll know the budget for the next program year or the proposed budget to be embedded within the rates for a 12-month period instead of changing them now in July and then again in December. And basically you're just going to jump from a large charge down to a smaller charge. With that, there is going to be a little bit of a under-recovery, a little bit of, I should say, material, $131,000 under-recovery at the end of December 31st, 2016 for the gas tracker. But the staff believes that that will be smoothed out a little bit by full years of gas sales that they're going to be used to forecast the next rate. But it will increase the rate a little bit higher than it would normally have for the next rate adjustment. And with that, staff recommends approval of the extension, and I'm available for questions. Thank you.
And I'm going to just start with a quick question. So just to be clear, after having gone through all of that, the question now is that the rates not change at all for the next 6 months. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Very good. And I let me just say thank you to you, because when I read through the filing, the original request, I was greatly perplexed as to how that could continue and make the rate changes that they were asking for. It made no sense to me, and so I appreciate your pushing that issue and bringing the recommendation that you have today. Questions from the commission? Commissioner Fegan.
I just have one, and I think I figured it out yesterday, but then a comment was made today, and I just have to make sure I understood it correctly. The additional $600,000, that's really because your budget is now 18 months instead of 12 months, correct?
That is correct.
Thank you.
Okay, so I want to follow up on that just so I am certain. I am looking at Northwestern's letter dated May 20th to Ms. Van Gerpen that came with your filing. And on the second page of that letter, there is a table. And one column of that table says approved 2015-2016 budget. The second column says revised 2015-2016 budget. But what I'm now understanding is that one of those columns is for a 12-month period and the other is for an 18-month period. Is that correct?
That is correct. So the approved 2015-16 budget was originally for the time frame July 1, 2015 through June 30th, 2016. The revised budget, which includes that additional $600,000, is for an 18-month period, which would run July 1, 2015 through December 31st, 2016.
And from this table, how would I have known that?
I'm sorry, I should have probably clarified that, Chairman Nelson.
Thank you. I will tell you, and just this is a global comment. I understand that the company and staff have a lot of conversations that we are not privy to. And so that particular point may well have been apparent to the company and to staff, but I'm looking at three commissioners here who were not able to understand that from the filing. And I can tell you from this commissioner's perspective, spent a lot of time misunderstanding because that point wasn't made clear. And so in the future, accurate column headings would be helpful. Mr. Carney.
I'd just like to make one additional comment, not on that you brought up, which was a good question, a good point, because it took me some thinking to figure out what they were actually asking as well. But for Northwestern, when they file for their next DSM plan, I'm hoping that they provide some benefit cost test results, because we have not seen any so far in these few years, and I just wanted to put that out there in the meeting today, that the staff is going to be looking for those numbers for this next DSM plan filing. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional questions from the commission? Is there a motion? Commissioner Feagin.
Mr. Chairman, in GE 16-002, move the motion that Commissioner Nelson stated in the beginning of the hearing, or the beginning of this docket. Unless you want me to read it all again.
That's okay. It would be the questions that were posed.
Thank you.
Discussion on the motion. I want to take just a brief opportunity to discuss this. I've already expressed my frustration in I think, the lack of clarity in the initial filing, so I won't spend any more time on that. The fact that the company is requesting a six-month extension to get some additional data, documentation, what have you, together, I'm good with that. I mean, I think that's the right thing to do. To staff, I think maintaining the current level of dollars for the electric program and for the credit for the gas service, I think that's an appropriate way to go forward for 6 months, not make it any changes in that regard. Having said that, I have not supported this program the last two times that we voted on it, primarily because, as I've stated before, I do not think there are enough dollars going directly back to the folks that are actually paying for the program. And as I've said before, I look forward to the day that Northwestern can convince me otherwise and perhaps tailor a program that's a little bit sharper in driving dollars directly back to the consumers. And hopefully that's what's happening over the next 6 months. That's my great hope. And so because of that, I'm not going to support the motion today. Additional commissioner discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes aye.
Nelson votes no. Motion carries. Brings us to TC 16-005 and the application of Mobility Management LLC for a certificate of authority to provide local exchange service in South Dakota. My understanding, Ms. Reichert, is that we are going to defer this. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, we will defer that as they are gathering additional information. That brings us to TC 16-007 in the matter of the filing by Quest Corporation doing business as CenturyLink QC for approval of revisions to its access service tariff. Mr. Topp.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson and Commissioners. This is as a part of the continuing effort to bring terminating access rates down. This brings them down to 0007. There are also some other changes related to PIU factor, percent interstate usage factors, as well as some technical amendments to the tariffs. We'd request that the commission approve it, and I'm here to answer questions.
Thank you. Staff.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. This is Joe Rizak with staff. Staff's reviewed the filing at this time is going to recommend approval of the proposed tariff revisions with an effective date of July 1st, 2016.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? I have just one for either whoever wants to take it. I noticed that we are changing from utilizing the word LATA to the word state. And CenturyLink has part of the Valentine Exchange that is indeed in a different LATA that comes into this state. Is that going to have any impact if we make this change? I mean, Jason, can you maybe help me understand whether there's any consequence there or not?
Mr. Chair, I guess I haven't looked at that specific situation. I don't believe that there would be significant consequence. This has become a less important issue as the rates have become equal over time. And so I don't expect there to be significance to that.
And that was my analysis. I think the practical effect of this, because of what you've just stated, is non-existent. But I needed to ask the question and certainly want to make it clear that, you know, if we make this change to state, that we maintain our jurisdiction over and protection for South Dakota customers that are in that Valentine exchange.
Yeah, absolutely.
Additional questions? Seeing none, is there a motion? I will move in TC-16-007 that the Commission approve the proposed tariff revisions. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. And what I don't know is whether we've taken up enough time for Otter Tail to have pulled their numbers together. Jason.
Sure. Yep. Chairman Nelson, we have pulled our numbers together, and we do have an answer for you.
Thank you.
So in 2014, we did pay 20% of the budget to the one customer, as we stated before. In 2015, we followed with another 20% payment to the customer. At the end of the year, we did have extra dollars in our budget, and so we paid them an additional payment. And that would have been another 5% of the budget, basically, because they did qualify for those dollars and we had them available. So we did make an extra payment. Now, I can tell you that typically on all of our programs, we have caps of we will not pay over 75% of the project cost. This project was well over $1 million, and we ended up paying about 13% of that. So nowhere near our other caps that we'd pay in our other programs.
So what was the amount of that final payment that was above the 20%?
It was a $19,000 payment is what we paid at the end of the year because we had extra dollars available.
And so am I correct? If you hadn't made that payment, those dollars would have rolled over and we would not have had to recover an additional $19,000 from customers in the following year?
Chairman Nelson, that is a correct assumption. And I can add, though, when we originally went into the project with a customer, we did have discussions with staff about using this mechanism. And we did tell the customer that, you know, we were constricted with, you know, we had budgetary restrictions, and we did lay this out up front. Now, I can't tell you if they still would have done the project or not. What I can tell you is this project resulted in very, very significant net benefits for all customers.
But when the customer made the decision in 2014 to do the project, they didn't know they were going to get this $19,000 at the end of 2015. So obviously they would have done the project. Is that correct?
Commissioner Nelson, what we told them is that we would pay them the 20%. Well, first we told them that we would talk to staff, South Dakota Commission staff, and then secondly, we came up with this plan, and we said if there are additional dollars in our budget that you qualify for, we will pay you those. So in 14, they didn't know, guarantee that they're going to get them, but we said, you know, if there are additional dollars, you'll qualify for those.
Thank you. I appreciate the explanation.
You are welcome.
Any additional commissioner questions? Commissioner Fegan.
So just a quick question. This large customer got about $130,000 worth of rebates. Is that approximate? If it's $1 million and it was 13%?
Commissioner Fegan, it was $159,000, which is 13% of the project cost. Yeah, very, very large project that only comes along very, very infrequently.
And so their energy efficiency cost on their rider, how much did they pay in the last few years on a yearly basis? Do you have?
Commissioner Feagin, I don't have those numbers in front of me. I know I did provide them to staff previously when we were in this discussions, but I don't have those numbers in front of me at the moment. And Commissioner Feagin, I would just add that, you know, that was a concern. That was a lot of the discussion was around, you know, how much they're paying into it and how much benefit they're getting. And the customer's concern was, well, you know, we only maybe participate one out of 10 years. And so that was a lot of the discussion. And so that's the background on that.
You're going to get some ping pong questions here, it looks like. I'm gonna jump in. How many customers participated in this program in 2014?
Chairman Nelson, are you asking in the Drive Power program?
Correct.
Or just overall?
Drive Power.
One second, please. We had 79 participants.
Okay, so I'm seeing that you had 79 participants in 2015, and so you had the same number in 2014?
Oh, I'm sorry, Chairman Nelson, you were asking for 2014.
Because that's when the project in question was done, correct?
Yeah, yes, I'm told, Chairman Nelson, we had 89 participants in 2014.
So how did you decide among the 89 that one would get an additional bonus payment?
Chairman Nelson, the reason why is none of the other customers qualified for additional payments. What this is, you know, for our Drive Power program, for customers that are putting in adjustable speed drives, we pay $90 per horsepower or $90 per horsepower for a year-round load. And none of our other customers, you know, they were paid their full rebates. All the other ones, none of them were restricted in any way. This customer, they qualified when we took the total horsepower times the rebate. They qualified for, you know, what they were paid. It's just that this 20% internal rule, that's what restricted them in those years. So they did qualify for those rebates. It's just that our internal rule basically restricted them just to make sure we encourage other participation.
Gotcha. Appreciate that explanation. Additional commissioner questions?
One just quick more question. The 159, was that the maximum they qualified for then? Or did they qualify for more and you just gave them the $19,000 bonus payment?
Commissioner Feagin, I'm just going to look at this really quick. I'll look at my schedule here, but I should be able to answer your question very soon. One second.
Thank you.
Commissioner Feagin, yes, they did receive their full payment in the end. That last payment was the remainder of what they qualified for with their energy efficiency investments.
Thank you. And you just don't have the discussion between you and the staff. You don't have that at easy access to you on how much they've paid in, correct?
Commissioner Feagin, that's correct. I don't have that at my fingertips, but I can definitely provide that to you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Feagin, I would add that this is our largest customer in South Dakota, and so I do know that they are paying, as far as compared to other customers, they're paying the most. I do know that.
Additional commissioner questions? And Jason, I appreciate you bearing with us through that line of questioning. Seeing no additional commissioner questions, is there a motion? Jason, don't get nervous. It's coming.
Mr. Chairman, in EL 16-019, I move that the Commission approve the 2015 financial incentive of $105,900. Do you want all three? I also move that the Commission approve Outer Tail's 2015 Energy Efficiency Plan Status Report, and I move that the Commission approve the proposed Energy Efficiency Adjustment Factor of 0.00114 cents per kilowatt hour with an effective date of July 1st, 2016.
And does that also include staff's recommendation that this be subject to Outer Tail filing amended cost-benefit test results and models supporting those test results?
Yes, absolutely.
That's what I thought. Discussion on the motion. Commissioner Feagin.
I'm a strong supporter of energy efficiency policies, and I'm glad to see that they accomplished as much as they did. Certainly, there's always going to be some question and programs that are as extensive as this one. And I note that one of the public entities was a very, very large customer, and there will be benefits for there's some expense certainly in with that particular entity, a significant cost. At the same time, there's a tremendous benefit to not just the decrease in costs to on a long-term basis to the utility, but with that particular entity, there'll be cost benefits to the public from standpoint of the fact that it's a public facility.
Additional comments. Commissioner Feagin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is certainly one of my favorite energy efficiency programs to read every year, and I can't wait to see how well you've done the previous year. I mean, you guys have done outstanding when you guys projected a 3.09 total resource test, and it ended up to be 8.09 with staff looking at your modeling, but that's pretty amazing, and I think our customers in the Northeast are being well taken care of.
Thank you. I intend to support the motion. Obviously, I had a little bit of a concern with that bonus payment at the end of 2015, but appreciated your explanation of how you got to that and the fact that the customer had, in fact, qualified for that, but because of your internal limitations, couldn't recover that in the normal 20% limitation. So I think I'm okay with that and certainly want to support the rest of the program. Additional commissioner comments? Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Do we have anything else for the good of the order? If not, the only announcement I've got is the next regular meeting will be Tuesday, July 5th, but at a different time, scheduled for 1:30 p.m. that afternoon. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Congratulations, Darren. I move to adjourn.
All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin.
Congratulations, Commissioner Hansen and Sandy Hansen, on 46 years of marriage. Aye.
Nelson votes aye. We are adjourned.